Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of the Psalms, Psalms 33. Psalms 33, a familiar passage for this day. Psalms 33, beginning in the 10th verse there. Psalms chapter 33, verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of people to none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, and he beholds all the sons of man. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is vain, a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help, our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in you. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, Father, that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us close to you in this moment. Father, that you would prepare us to help our nation. Prepare us to be the people we need to be in order to save America and save those who are in America. Thank you for this time. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems only appropriate on this Sunday after we celebrate our nation's birthday that we would turn to the Psalms. The Psalms are written as poetry or song lyrics, if you will. God has placed something within the hearts of most of us that responds to music. It was with music that the young man David found entrance into King Saul's tents. You see, Saul became very troubled at times, and the pressures of state and the pressures of his position pushed upon him to where he would get very despondent. And a young man named David, by playing and singing, calmed Saul's heart and lifted his spirits. That's what music has an ability to do. The saying goes, music has charms to soothe the savage breast. And indeed it does. That's why we have tried to soothe the savages of our own children by music, singing them to sleep. We have found that you can calm hearts with music, and our nation has been calmed with music. There have been times when our nation has been lifted by music. In fact, not a few times, but many times. In the Revolutionary War, soldiers were brought together, and as they went to battle, they would often sing a little tune. Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his hat, and called it macaroni. The song was actually written as a put-down by the British. But, you know, in America, we kind of take put-downs and embrace them. And so that's what the Revolutionary soldiers did. They embraced that song, they made it their own, and they sang it back to the British as they marched toward battle. The Star-Spangled Banner pulled America together once again in 1812. When the British came very close to taking the colonies back, it is hard to believe how close we were to losing the young nation. But there, out of that battle, out of the great battle in Boston Harbor, the flag still was waving, and our national anthem was penned. It encouraged us. During the Civil War, the Battle Hymn of the Republic was sung. Then came the Great War, the war to end all wars. It was my granddaddy's war. World War I, shook the world. It certainly shook America. But the nation that had been so divided pulled together. And the song, over there. Over there, over there. Send the word over there. That the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming. We're drum, drum, drumming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer. Send the word over there. We're coming over, we're coming over. And we won't be back till it's over, over there. And indeed, the battles were fought and the battles were won. And the war to end all wars ended. And the songs were put aside. But unfortunately, the world to end all wars didn't. And fascism, Marxism, raised its head. And there came a time when Americans would have to rally again. At the close of World War I, there was a young soldier, Irving Berlin, stationed in Camp Upton in Long Island. He wrote a song. Now, many people wrote songs, and he wrote this song, and filled with patriotic pride, finished it for the signing of the armistice of World War I. But there were so many songs coming out at that time, he just threw it in his trunk, left it there, forgot it. 20 years passed. And as the nation was again in turmoil, he thought of that song. Actually, what drew him to the song was a young lady who wanted to sing a patriotic song on the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of the armistice signing. Her name was Kate Smith. Kate Smith, according to Berlin, he said, Kate Smith is 200 pounds of wholesome country girl goodness. Boy, you couldn't get away with saying that today. But Kate wanted a special song, a song that could rally America. And so he went to his trunk, and he pulled out this song that had been written so long ago. And on November 10th, 1938, on her radio show, Kate Smith introduced the song. She said, I feel this song, this new song, is one of the most beautiful compositions ever written, a song that will never die. As the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us pledge allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful of a land so fair, and let us lift our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, why with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. That song swept the nation. To a great degree, it carried us through World War II. And then it was brought out again when our soldiers faced war in Korea, then in Vietnam, and then the song went into mothballs. It was really not heard again very much until September 11th, 2001. And again, the song came to rally our nation. It is a powerful song. But the power is not in the song. The power is in the fact that the song is a prayer. A very a very needed prayer. And may I say, in this day, in 2020, there is nothing our nation needs more than prayer. Our nation was founded by prayer. General Washington's first order for his soldiers was that his officers be Christian gentlemen, and they were to pray. Abraham Lincoln says, "I have often been driven to my knees by the knowledge that I have nowhere else to go." Our Congress that seldom looks like they actually believe in God, does not meet without calling upon God. You see, our nation was founded by people that knew how to pray, and it was established that our nation would be a praying people. And if you want to know why America has been blessed, it has been blessed in answer to those prayers. Our nation is blessed because of God. There really is no other reason. There really is no other force. Psalms 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, I know many in our country do not believe, and many that do believe have just kind of waxed soft in their faith. But America has been blessed as a nation founded upon the Bible and by Bible-believing, God-fearing men and women. There are those today that want to rewrite history. No, there are those today that want to abolish history. But the truth is, our nation was formed by people that believed not only in God, they believed in Jesus Christ. Of the 55 delegates to the Constitutional Congress of 1787, 52 were members of Christian churches. George Washington, our first president, said it is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible. Patrick Henry, I love Patrick Henry, "Give us liberty or give us death." Well, I learned that in school. Children today do not necessarily learn that in school. But here's something you may not have learned in school that Patrick Henry said. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ." Inside the cap of the Washington Monument, you know, the Washington Monument stands as a tribute to our first president, the general that won our first freedom battle. And so it is only fitting that inside that cap, where you really cannot see, are written two words, "Laus Deo," praise be to God. Our very capital is laid out in a Christian manner. The nation's mall has four sections: the White House to the north, the Jefferson Memorial to the south, the Capitol to the east, the Lincoln Memorial to the west. If you took an aerial view and looked down on our nation's mall, you would see a cross, and it is not there by accident. Our nation's capital was laid out to show the strength of our nation, and the strength of our nation comes from Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Even before our nation was founded, it was a strong belief in Jesus that brought it about. Christopher Columbus. I saw just this past week, people were attacking a statue of Christopher Columbus. Well, they might hurt the statue, but they can't hurt Christopher. Christopher was a believer, a strong believer in Jesus Christ. And this is what he said: "It was the Lord who put into my mind the journey that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. There is no question that the inspiration came from the Holy Spirit. It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied. The fact that the gospel must be preached to so many nations, that's what convinced me to go." Well, the pilgrims came, and the pilgrims gathered together to pen the Mayflower Compact. And in the Mayflower Compact, we read, "For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." So the nation did begin. The First Continental Congress convened. And when the First Continental Congress convened, they had a chaplain, and the chaplain read Psalms 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Dwight Eisenhower and Gerald Ford both said, "God, that there can be no America without God." The nation whose God is the Lord will be blessed. May I say, a life whose God is the Lord will be blessed. It is the force that leads to our blessing, our relationship with Almighty God. But understand, the opposite of this verse is also true. The danger for our nation is leaving the Lord God. The danger for a life is leaving the Lord God. Because while the nation that believes in God will be blessed, the nation that leaves God's faith, that does not believe in God, is a nation without God's blessing. Could it be that the reason that they are trying to destroy statue after statue after statue of our forefathers, the men that formed our nation, could it be that the reason for that is they're trying to erase their words? No, they're trying to erase their beliefs. They're trying to erase the fact that we are one nation that was created, devised, laid out for the glory of God. They've tried to rewrite history to say these men were religionists. Well, obviously they were not. They were Christians. And so now they're just trying to erase the people altogether. May I encourage you, we cannot let that happen. A nation that does not trust in God will find difficulties, struggles. And that's why our nation struggles so today. A life that leaves the devotion of God. If you are a believer and you've slipped away from God, if you are a believer and you are not walking with God, may I tell you, you are in danger of losing the very purpose of life. America is blessed because of God. America is blessed because of His guidance. In verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." The basic principles that shaped our nation were founded from a fear and a respect for God. It's not just knowing there is a God. It's knowing God personally, having a relationship with Him, and having Him guide our lives. We know what our wisdom produces, mostly failures. Oh, but God's wisdom can guide us through the storms that come and can give us victory when we could see none. That's what God's wisdom has done in the past for America. That's what God's wisdom can do now. But we can't expect our nation to follow God's guidance if we as believers do not follow God's guidance. It is God's guidance that placed the yearning for freedom within the heart of our forefathers. America is not free just because of an idea, just because of people thinking that we should be free. America is free because people were willing to go to whatever means it took, pay whatever price it took in order to win our freedom and to preserve it. I am telling you, there had to be sacrifice. There has to always be sacrifice for there to be freedom. Freedom is not free. There was a blood price to pay of men and women that have laid down their lives willing to pay the price. The very act of sacrifice points to Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus, who left heaven's throne and came to this world and laid down his all on a cruel cross to secure the possibility of freedom from sin, death, and hell. Many signers of the Declaration of Independence paid the ultimate price. Yes, they gave their lives when they signed that document, and then they followed it up by giving their lives. Following God's guidance, wanting a nation to be free to worship God. The only assurance we have for our nation to prosper is for our nation and us as individuals to once again bow our hearts to God, to live our lives in respect of God, to take His word to heart, to apply it to our lives, and to live like we actually believe, to rally together once again. Well, I know that we are kind of short-circuited in that because some of us can't rally yet. But when we can, there will be a day that we should come together in force for Jesus Christ. And until that day, wherever people are listening or watching, we rally in our hearts for Jesus Christ. And when we have opportunity to speak to anyone, we make sure that they know that we know Jesus. In a world that respects no one, will you at least respect God? Will you at least bow your heart to Him? As sacrifices bought our freedom, Jesus' sacrifice bought our salvation. Would you be willing to give your life to live for Him? Would you be willing to give your speech to speak for Him? Follow His guidance. In that, you're going to find peace. You're going to find blessing. America is blessed by that guidance, and America is blessed for His glory. I was appalled when I heard a group of women on television this past week telling people that we don't need to do anything to glorify this nation. Don't wear red, white, and blue, because you don't want to have any part of lifting up this nation. Well, let me tell you something. We have men and women throughout the ages that have shared their own life's blood so that we could have the privilege to say such ludicrous things. And I will proudly wear red, white, and blue. And I will proudly lift up our flag. And I will proudly and humbly thank each man and woman that has served and does serve our nation. And I will respect our president, whoever that may be. And I will try to let everybody know we have this nation for God and His glory. Verse 20 and 21, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Our nation has had better days. We could blame politicians. We could blame terrorists. We can blame a virus. But the bright future of America rests on those that are willing to stand and wait on the Lord. Our nation's prosperity depends on those that will go to their knees in prayer, that will lift up Jesus, that will exalt Jesus to others. You know the way you change a world? One by one, turning hearts to Jesus. And if we will take seriously God's call to our own hearts and lives, then we can take seriously changing the nation. We want to serve God day by day. We want to live praising Him, and we want others to do likewise. We want to be in a nation so that when Sundays come, people know that they're going to God's house. They're lifting up the God who has lifted up our nation, who continues to be the one we can rely upon. We're going to praise Him. The Scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. We need to bow before God. We need to live before God, and we need to serve our God. The blessings of America depends on the trust of America in Almighty God. And so we must lift Jesus up. Our nation will be blessed when we glorify God. Trusting Him, following Him with all that we are, with all that we have. And the same is true, same that's true for our nation is true for our lives. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the life whose God is the Lord. Is God your Lord? Is He your ruler? Is He your guider? Have you met Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Are you following Him? No matter what anybody else does or says, lifting Jesus up, glorifying Him. For as Jesus is lifted up and as men and women look to Jesus, our nation becomes what God intended it to be. A bright and shining light to point people to our God. If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, I want you to do that. I want you to do it right now. I want you to invite Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul. Most in this room are believers. You already know Jesus as your Savior. Don't sit back like you can do nothing in this day of calamity for our nation. Stand for Jesus where you are. Stand for Jesus in front of the people you are with. Take the opportunities you have to speak for Him. Listen, if the only place you're going is to the grocery store and to the doctor, then make sure the people at the grocery store and your doctor knows Jesus. And if you're talking to people, lift up Jesus. If you have people crying out because they're lonely, point them to Jesus who will never leave us nor forsake us. There is a hope for America. There is a hope for our land. There is a hope for our world. And it's found in Jesus. So let's bind ourselves to Him. Let's stand with Him. And God will bless America again. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask right now that You would move within our hearts. Lord, if there is anyone here that doesn't know You, I pray that they would come to know You personally. For believers, Christians, Father, that we would not throw up our hands, that we would not give over our land. Father, that we would stand firmly, proudly, Father, for Jesus Christ. That we would let others know that our faith resides in You. And Father, because of that faith, You will bless our nation. Because of that faith, You can turn things around. Because of that faith, Father, we can see a land that glorifies You. Move our lives to glorify You, Father. And we thank You for all that You will do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, I hope you filled out your card. You'll need to leave that in the buckets as you go.